Welcome to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast. On this show, we bring people from the real estate community to hear some of their struggles, pains, and even losses during their real estate journey. Our whole goal is to share these stories so that if you find yourself in a similar situation, you know how to work your way through it and head towards success. I'm your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vendu Capital. Let's jump straight into the interview. Hey everyone, I'm excited and honored to be joined by Brian Burke. Brian, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited and honored just to be here.
Oh, hey, trust me, honor's all on this side of the, Zoom table now is what we're doing. But just in case somebody hasn't heard of you or know anything about you, would you mind telling us a little about who you are, where you're from, and what kind of real estate you're in?
Yeah, I'm the CEO of Praxis Capital. We're a multifamily real estate operator. We have a national footprint based in California, though, although none of our investments are here. In my 30-year career, I've flipped about 650 houses, bought about 100 rental houses, and about 3,000 apartment units. So through that process, you know, I've certainly seen a few weird stories that we can have all kinds of fun talking about.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, that with that kind of background, I'm sure you've run into your fair share of things. So I know before we hit record, we were having a good time kind of going through some of that stuff. Would you mind, or do you know of anything that really comes to mind off the top of your head that sticks out that goes, man, you know, somebody needs to watch out for something like this?
I got to say probably one of my biggest, I guess we call this unsuccess stories, right? That's really what this is.
Yeah.
My biggest unsuccess stories comes from one of my early multifamily investments. At least in the large scale multifamily side, I bought this property in, it was in the Dallas, Texas market, which was a really strong market to be buying in. And I bought an apartment complex there that it was like right after the real estate market collapsed. If you can remember like 2005 and six, the real estate market started to trend down. And then by 07 and 08, it was like in full free fall. And so I bought this property in 08 for half of what the guy before me paid for it just about 3 years earlier. So that seemed like a completely brilliant investment because that's what right. We all are taught to do, right?
How do you miss on that? That's a home run.
It's an absolute grand slam. You buy at a discount. What bigger discount can you get than half of what the last guy paid, right? But that was in 08. But I don't know if you remember 2009, but that's when the great financial collapse hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd closed on this property about 6 months earlier than that and started fixing it up and got the outside all fixed up, started renovating interiors. I got the occupancy up from about 80-ish% where it was when I bought it to 99%. And that lasted, I think, about a week.
Oh my. Okay. So not a home run.
Well, I guess it didn't turn out that way. As soon as the news came out, Bear Stearns collapsed, Lehman Brothers collapsed, and the economy was in free fall. The next thing you know, people were losing jobs left and right, even in strong economies like Dallas, especially in, you know, the lower sector of the economy. And at first, you know, we kind of held on, but it didn't take very long before I used to joke that half the units were empty and the other half weren't paying.
Wow. Oh, so. I mean, we hear it all the time. There's another bubble. There's always a bubble. So that was an unforeseen thing that could have happened, right? Some people speculated that, you know, they read the tea leaves and saw it coming. But for a lot of us, we didn't see it or didn't know it was coming. How do you prep yourself, or if we find ourselves looking at something like that, how do you prepare yourself for avoiding that kind of thing in the future, or even can you?
Well, a decade and a half ago, I didn't know the answer to this question, but this experience certainly taught me the answer. And there's two answers, really. One answer is to always prepare for a downside by underwriting as if it's going to happen. In other words, assume that your vacancy is going to be higher than, you know, what the market averages are telling you, or what the property's currently performing, or where you think you can get it. Take a look at long-term vacancy averages, and also look at the last market cycle peak vacancy and see where that went. So how bad do things get? And look at that historical data. I was never a historical data fan until after this experience happened to me. And you start to see, like, you know, lessons can be learned from history and we can alter our behavior to try to survive it. So that's one thing. The other thing is choose your financing carefully. And when I bought this property, the lender had placed it into receivership, which was a process that would happen just before they take it to foreclosure, where essentially they seize control of the asset. And so they were very motivated to get out of this deal. And so when I came along as a potential buyer, they would bend over backwards and do anything I asked them to do. So I asked them to do probably the dumbest thing I could have asked. And I said, will you finance the entire purchase price? And they said, sure.
Okay.
So I have 100% financing. You know, I've read all the books. I know what they all say. They say you can buy real estate with no money down, right? And you can use creative financing techniques. And so here I found a lender that was willing to allow me to assume this existing loan that was in foreclosure, write off all the back payments, write down the principal loan balance on the loan to the purchase price, and essentially hand me the property with all the financing. All I have to do is come up with the money to fix the property up and make it perform, and then I can refinance later or sell. Seems like a simple enough business plan. It's what all the books tell you to do. So I did exactly that. And I learned through this experience that the one thing that will help you survive a severe downturn is conservative leverage. Those who were the most levered were the ones who failed. And those were the properties that were in foreclosure that I was buying. You don't want to be that guy. So be very cautious on how much debt you take on and what the terms of that debt is and how much time you have to pay that debt off. Make sure you don't have a maturity that comes up too soon. Make sure that that you have plenty of what they call debt service coverage ratio. In other words, a lot of income relative to the monthly debt service.
So you were mentioning looking at historical data kind of in the first section of that. And for those that are maybe getting their feet wet or moving into multifamily or anything like that, and you're giving them advice, how far are you telling yourself or these folks to look back and take a look at some of that?
Well, I look at a 20-year historical vacancy data that we get through, you know, data service called Axiometrics. And they have a couple of things in these data sets. And one is, what is the long-term vacancy average? And then another is just historical vacancy data, so you can look for a peak. And so I'll go back 20 years and look for a peak and just see, you know, how bad do things get and what would be the average? So it's kind of like, what's that downside scenario? Everybody wants to underwrite to an upside scenario, but consider that downside scenario and look to see what the numbers look like if that were to happen.
Gotcha. So, I mean, in a nutshell, in a very simple way, you're prepared for the worst, hope for the best kind of thing when you're doing some going through underwriting.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, but there's two things to keep in mind as it comes to like surviving, you know, these types of events. And, you know, we can prepare for it all we want to, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to happen. And when something really bad happens, like an economic collapse or some kind of natural disaster, there's no question about it that the performance that you achieve is likely to be underwhelming. So you just have to live with that. That's part of investing. That's one of the risks everybody takes when they make an investment. The other part of it, though, is just pure survivability. And so underwriting to kind of a downside scenario helps you avoid being underwhelmed by the performance, because you say, well, you know, we knew this could happen. This is one of the scenarios, the base cases that we projected could be a possibility. So no big deal. But the conservative financing part of it, that's the side that just lets you survive. I mean, it's one thing to underperform, come out the other side, finally sell and get your money back, or even get your money back in a minuscule return. That's a really good outcome compared to the outcome of, well, we just handed the keys to the bank. We walked away with 100% wipeout. That's the place you don't want to be.
Gotcha. Well, I think for those of us that are maybe new to the game or even existing, that's incredibly valuable to learn and to be thinking about when we're going through these deals. Brian, I think that's as good of a place as any, maybe to wrap it up here. You know, I really appreciate the time and the knowledge, but for those that maybe want to connect with you and learn more about you and your organization, what's the best place that they can find you and contact you?
Best place to find me is either through our website, praxcap.com. It's praxcap.com. You can follow me on Instagram at investor Brian Burke, or you can find me on biggerpockets.com answering questions in the forums.
Perfect. Yeah. Love seeing people inside of Bigger Pockets. It's always about helping others there. So Brian, thanks so much. I really appreciate the time and the knowledge for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.